You mention a lot on the relationship with donors and givers. So when you design a campaign, do you always work on building up a collaborative model, which is fine-tuning the mission of the venture with that of the donors? You have some sort of example where, you know, you fine-tune, as a donor, I go, okay, maybe we don't have the exactly same sort of vision, but let's fine-tune it.
The way that works best, Nishant, is building a nonprofit organization that's successful financially over time. Is what I would call an inside-out affair. You begin with those people that are closest to you, both by sharing your values and your mission, and then also their relationship with the organization. And once you have that core, then it's not a question of so much redefining yourself for donors. It's not that. It's a question of finding like-minded people who share the mission you've already established. See the distinction I'm making?
Is there a scope that we could realign some of the mission or vision? Let's say it's not 100% match, but you say, okay, there's a scope, there's an overlapping subset here, let's go ahead and we can do something.
Well, yes. First of all, philanthropy is an elastic variable. There's plenty of money out there, number one. In this country, hundreds of millions of dollars are left on the table every year. And the reason is because donors are not engaged properly. They're not, you know, brought in properly, which I think addresses a little bit of what you're talking about. So it's not a matter of flipping who you are or reinventing yourself. It's a matter of identifying the people who share what you're trying to achieve. That's a little different task.
You've worked with multiple set of actors. There are so many actors within the social ecosystem. You worked in university, you worked at Niagara University, you were with College of Idaho. Now, Benio, also serving as a board member on the Philanthropy Council of the Charter Center, what do you think are the nuances, differences, how you interact and in their giving, different actors?
Well, you know, I'm sure some would disagree with me, but I think there are more similarities than there are differences. I mean, the difference, of course, is in the mission. The differences are somewhat cultural or geographical, but fundamentally, what drives the engine is the same thing, and that is people coming together to accomplish something that they could not do alone. That's the critical piece. Whether you're on the organizational side or you're on the donor side, you know, neither group can do what can be done together alone. So they have to come together in relationship with each other. And this is so very important when it comes to raising money, because many, many nonprofits, well-meaning nonprofits, you know, their model is their mental model is different. They think fundraising is a matter of going out to get the money and bringing it back to their organization to do what they want to do. That's not what it is. I mean, they'll be somewhat successful, but they'll never get the kind of success they could get if they instead, their mental model was, all right, how can we attract donors to us? And together, we make something happen that we couldn't do alone. And that means, of course, involving donors in a way that some organizations, they like the money, but they don't want the relationship. It doesn't really work that way, not for very long.
The pandemic, the COVID-19 has been a huge disruptor. So when you think about, you talk a lot about relationship, which is so important between the donor and the giver. Now, how do you think it's going to change, you know, within the donor community? What sort of behavioral changes you will do? For example, you had Warren Buffett and Mackenzie Scott, you know, she dedicated a lot of money, donated a lot of money this year in a very different manner. So the times maybe have changed. What changes do you think nonprofits and social entrepreneurs have to incorporate within the changing times?
First of all, I want to give reassurance to a lot of nonprofits that think this virus has somehow shrank or diverted their potential philanthropic base. That's not the case. What we've seen in this country is that giving for all causes, for all types of organizations, has risen. Yes, there's specific people who are attracted to fighting the virus, and so they are focusing their dollars on that. That's good. But also, others have stepped up their donations so that the organizations and the missions they really hold dear will continue. Now, in terms of long-term changes, I think what you'll probably see is more of a use of online tools like what you're using today, for instance. You'll see some of that. You'll see less dependency, hopefully, and I'm saying hopefully, on large-scale fundraising events. And we could talk about events for a long time, but events in this country are largely misused. They're used as primary revenue generators, and that's not really the best use of events. The best use of events is to draw people into your organization, but they're often used just to generate revenue, and there's lots of reasons why that's not a good idea. But that's where a lot of organizations are. But that's going to change, and then also, as I said, more online features. But what will not change are people's desire to help other people and people's desire to be in relationship with other people. That is as old as creation. And one of the things, I know we're going to talk about India a little bit later on, but that's one of the things, as I've gotten to know the Indian people, that really attracts me, is that the Indian culture is primarily a relational culture. They really want to get to know you. And that, to me, is very fertile ground for very strong philanthropy if it's approached in the right way.
You came out with quite a few interesting details. You know, you came out with a lot of insights. Now, my question now, as a follow-up to what you said, you have said that the sort of donation on the giving has not gone down. You think more number of donors have come in, or the ticket size among the donors has gone up? Of course, healthcare is one sector where a lot of donations have come in around the world, and that's fair enough. But when you talk about philanthropy going up, the giving going up, is it because more number of individuals are coming, or the ticket size, like I said, you think it's gone up?
Well, it kind of depends on what sector you're looking at. I think in some sectors, the number of donors, at least in this country, I can't speak for India, but in this country, the number of donors in some sectors has gone down, even as the total has gone up. That distresses me a little bit, because although historically, in terms of dollars or rupees, the bulk of the funds come from a relatively small group of people. That's always been the case. They alone will not drive a healthy philanthropic program. You have to have the smaller donors. They are just as important, but for a different reason. And the reason why is if you have a lot of small donations that are broadly distributed, you have community legitimacy. You have community support, which is critical to maintaining long-term sustainability. And at the same time, the larger donors, those who have much more resource and can be more generous, be not more generous, but they can give more. Generosity is a matter of percentage. It's not a matter of dollars. That then they drive the amount, but they don't create the legitimacy. And that's why both big and small donors have to be a part of the mix.
Another very important statistics which I need to share. Now, there's a lot of, we talked about behavioral change. There's also been a rise of Generation Z. Generation Z are those who are born between 1995 to 2010, and they comprise about 20% of the working population. Now, this particular Generation Z relies a lot also on the social media. I mean, many of them, I think I read somewhere that 96% of them have a smartphone now. I think that statistics valid for US. I'm not sure if that statistics for the US, but you know, that's
a lot.
So how do you think the philanthropy will evolve in the present times? Do you think a lot of technology use is coming in, a lot of tech savvy ways of?
Well,